Welcome to the Pure Championship podcast with me, Chris Sampson, and my co-host, Cammy Anderson. We're the only podcast that purely focuses on the brilliance of the Scottish Championship. Betfred Cup action saw us sit out last week, but we are back and we're ready to talk all things match day six. And Cammy, are you ready to get going, yeah?
Indeed I am. There were some cracking games and some really cracking goals. It's a pleasure for us to talk about this.
Yeah, there definitely was. I think we're going to start with the match that I was lucky enough to attend at the weekend, and that was Alloa 0, Ayr United 2. Obviously, it goes without saying it was amazing to be at a football match from my perspective, but you really can't help to feel a bit sad as well when there's no fans there to enjoy it too. I just wanted to say again, we've already talked much like a lot about him already, but big thank you to Pure Championship pal Kieran Mooney for asking us both to join him on commentary so far this season for a couple of matches. I think I really enjoyed it. I know you did as well when we talked about it a few weeks back to Cammy, and hopefully folk watching the highlights back enjoyed some of what I was able to say. And I think Kieran has been great on commentary so far too. I really love doing it with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity that we've been afforded this season, and I'll thank Kieran as well for it. And hopefully it's not the last time that either you or I are at the Rex to commentate on the Mighty Wasps, who weren't so mighty in this one, were they?
No. Yeah, I think let's get on to the match action and discuss it. Alloa weren't so mighty. I think it was the same kind of nice football for them that we've seen quite a lot, but it's just not fallen for them so far this season. They had a really good couple of chances throughout the match, just couldn't finish them. Robert Thompson came on as a sub in the second half. He almost bundled Viljami Sinisalo into the back of the net late on to try and score. And it was just like Ennis Murray had a couple of chances too, when he just couldn't get on the end of, I think it was a Liam Buchanan kind of drilled ball across the goal. And that was the story of the match for Alloa.
It was a kind of case of what we've most often said about Alloa, in that they're a team who play really nice football and certainly don't get what they deserve out of their matches. Now, looking at the stats, both of them had 10 shots in the game, both had 5 on target, yet Ayr United ran out 2-0 winners in this one. And I mean, you mentioned some of the chances there. The game could have quite easily finished at least 2 each, if not an Alloa win. And it's really unfortunate. Alloa are still without a win. That's 6 games that we've played and they've got just 1 point to show from it. And yeah, it's really unfortunate. Obviously, I think me and you both have a real soft spot for them, and I really want to see them turn things around soon. But yeah, as you said earlier on, things just aren't clicking for them at the moment.
No, and as you said, obviously Peter Grant wants things to turn around soon as well. And I asked him after the match if it was frustration more than anything else that was coming into play for them so far this season, and this is what he had to say.
Is it frustration more than disappointment? Because you're not playing badly, but it's just not falling.
As I say, last year, I'll say Queen of the South this year, as I said to you, that's the only game I've been disappointed in performance-wise. You know, and Queen of the South played really well. I thought we were poor on the day. I thought we're lacklustre on everything we've done, never really created any chances, you know. So, but I want to win games of football. I'm looking here to be fantastic in everybody's eyes, you know what I mean? I want to win games of football, so it's important we win. And how we do that is putting the ball in the back of it and not conceding the goals we're doing.
Yeah, Cammy, so that was Peter Grant. I think from a fan perspective and from us watching on perspective, there's a bit more frustration around the absence of Stefan Skugel as well. And we spoke about that on the last pod, and it continued in this one. He didn't even get off the bench.
Yeah, Skugel being on the bench is really surprising to pair of us. A player who we all know how good he can be. He's a player who's played at a much higher level than this, with all due respect to all Championship clubs. And yeah, initially we thought it was maybe him holding off. Well, I'm saying him, Peter Grant, kind of holding off trying to build up his fitness. But you just think with Alloa's struggles at the moment, why not give Skugel? You've kind of got to maybe force him in a sense. I mean, you can't wait around forever, especially in a shortened season. And I'd just like to see Skugel come on and play more and do something, because I think Skugel is definitely a player who could make a difference, not just for Alloa, but probably every team in this league and maybe a few in the division above as well. He is one of those kind of players who can do things that not every player can, and he's a player who can really take the game by the horns. And yeah, I really want to kind of see more from him in the coming weeks. But one person who did star in this game was our Pure Championship favourite, Luke McEwen. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, he was absolutely superb throughout to be honest. And I was really impressed with a lot of Ayr's players, obviously first chance for a while, seeing them kind of live in the flesh. And Luke McKenna was superb, but obviously he got the first goal, which kind of came in weird circumstances. If anybody has watched the highlights to this, I think I come in and say that that kind of happened in slow motion, it seemed to, but it's a lovely 1-2 with Cammy Smith and Joe Chalmers. Joe Chalmers kind of flashes it across the goal, chest height, and Luke McKenna is at the back post and chests it in, but it doesn't kind of go straight in front of him into the goal. It goes sideways, and I thought Neil Parry had managed to keep it out and catch it, but kind of Luke McKenna turns away and starts celebrating, and the Ayr players start celebrating with him, and it seemed to be in a kind of weird situation. But obviously it counted at the end of the day. And then for the second, he was superb as well, kind of 1-2 with Aaron Muirhead. McKenna's back heel finds Aaron Muirhead, who comes in and plays a low ball into the box, and Andy Murdoch grabs a goal. And I think in the second half as well, just touching on Murdoch, he was back to his best from a few seasons ago. Obviously, we touched on him already earlier on in the season, and he'd be kind of like a new signing to Ayr this season after missing the whole of last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's one of those kind of extra options. We've spoken about the kind of depth that the Ayr United have, and having him back is a massive boost. And yeah, going back to McKenna, obviously a pure championship favourite, one of the kind of original pure championship favourites. And I mean, just fantastic all round. And that's a few kind of times this season already where he's really stepped up. We, in our season preview, both kind of said that he's going to need to step up and kind of fill those shoes from Alan Forrest. And he's done that in my view, at least in this early stage of the season. He is a player who looks destined for better things. And yeah, I think what a huge win this is for Ayr. It's kept him in the playoff spots after Inverness's win away to Queen of the South, which we'll talk about later on. And they're only 3 points off the top of the table as well. I think you said that they were going to finish second in the table, and they're not far off that at the moment. I mean, I think it probably could have been a lot worse for Alloa as well. Obviously, we'd mentioned them having kind of equal chances to Ayr, but Neil Parry, I thought, was superb in this one. Made a few really good saves and was unfortunate for that one that you said, but it looked like he'd kind of just about kept it out. But that said, Ayr did have a lot of chances, and a few just kind of went right across the goal, and they were just needing a touch or two, and it could have been so much worse. But yeah, I think there was a lot to like about Ayr's performance. Some really neat play at times, lots of quick passing with players kind of close by, moving nicely in kind of triangles and what have you. And then, yeah, they looked really difficult for Alloa to deal with.
Yeah, the first half was pretty even, going back to that, but the second half, Ayr just kind of stepped up a bit, and as you said, they had a lot more chances. There was a lot of nice play on the edge of the box. We've already touched on McKenna, but Michael Moffat, Cammy Smith was good too, even kind of obviously did get sent off with a second yellow, but they were both really impressive. And again, you mentioned Ayr's depth, and that was something I wanted to ask Mark Kerr about after the match too, because Ennis Cameron and Dario Zanatta didn't even get on in this one either. It was young Mark McKenzie that came on late on in the second half, over like kind of before those two. So yeah, this is what Mark Kerr had to say to that.
Got some options off the bench as well. Like Zanatta and Ennis Cameron didn't even come on today, and you've got them to come in potentially if Cammy Smith misses a couple.
I thought the benches are really strong. A few of the boys here, you've got Tom Walsh back. Tom will probably take a couple of weeks to really get into his stride, but there's real quality in that squad there. I think anybody reading our bench today sees how good it is. And without trying to be funny, but I've been part of the bench, and I thought he may be going on and playing, whereas today I had a decision to make, whether it was me or two or three others, we're still at the boys, young boys and stuff. So we have got quality, and I didn't make a lot of changes today just because of probably. It's just when he wins, get the game done, and if you don't need to make changes, just get a solid performance and use them as probably waste a wee bit of time. Which that's no disrespect to the boys on the bench, because it is really quality. It was just, I thought we were in a flow and we were pretty solid, so there's no point in disrupting that.
Yeah, so the depth that Ayr have is obviously impressive, and something we've touched on quite a lot. Maybe not at the back, but the forward options are superb. I'm definitely, at the moment, standing by my tip of second for them.
I mean, I don't know if I'll necessarily agree with your tip for second, but I think playoffs is looking pretty good for Ayr. Before we move on, there was something I did want to discuss, and that was there was a penalty incident that could have seen Alloa awarded a penalty just before half-time. Obviously, you were in the stadium. What did you kind of think of it?
I thought it was a penalty. Maybe that's my on Saturday Aloha bias hat on coming on there, but I think I said in the highlights too, which I was quite happy about getting in there, that we are used to seeing Aloha slow down highlights and put a kind of focus on where a ball hits a hand. That we didn't get that focus, but we did see a slowed down replay. And I was quite chuffed at getting that in the commentary, but I thought it was a penalty. Did you not?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a clear penalty, and you can't help but wonder how differently the game could have went, because that goal would have given Aloha a huge boost going into the second half. And yeah, it's one of those things. Aloha are very unlucky, and they'll hope that their kind of luck turns around soon.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on. We're going to touch on that Friday night game that you've already mentioned, Cammy. It was Queen of the South 0, Inverness Caledonian Thistle 3. And the biggest thing for me is John Robertson, young guns, march on. And they're getting some more recognition now after an outing live on the TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. For a few weeks now, we've been bigging these boys up. Kai Kennedy, Roddy McGregor, Cameron Harper. And yeah, there's a lot of kind of young boys in that Inverness team who we've certainly taken note of, and it's fantastic to kind of see them get this recognition. And what a performance from them as well, especially Kai Kennedy. I'm going to be bold here and suggest that he is the best young player in the Championship, or at least he has been thus far this season, because, I mean, that first goal that he scored was outstanding. It looked like it was kind of done and dusted. He wasn't going to do anything yet. Wee bit of trickery. He gets past Willie Gibson very easily and slots it in between Jack Layfield's legs. And, I mean, a fantastic little goal there, and he's proven himself to be a really good wee player, and unfortunately his loan deal is up come January, and I hope for both mine and your sake that Inverness somehow managed to extend the loan, if not another Championship club can maybe pick him up, because this is a player that you're wanting to see kind of perform week in, week out.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same in terms of the move did look a bit dead when it got to the edge of the box on that left-hand side, but Kai Kennedy somehow scores from that situation. Like Willie Gibson versus him looked like a mismatch for the ages to me on Friday night. I don't think Willie Gibson had the best of games whatsoever. It was a bit of a struggle for him, but Kai Kennedy goes past him so easily for that goal. And yeah, great finish. And as you say, he's really stepped up over the last couple of weeks, especially. I'm not sure he's my young player this season so far. I think Roddy McGregor might be staking a claim for that as well in terms of breakout star for the season so far. What a finish from him for his goal too.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a difficult finish to kind of make. The ball kind of bounces just before it hits it, and that could have been so easy for him to completely miss the ball and have it jump over his foot or balloon it over the stand, but he just hit it that perfect, and it was just, it was a fantastic goal. And as we kind of said in the introduction to the podcast, one of several fantastic goals that we've seen this weekend. There's multiple kind of goal of the season candidates that we've seen, and yeah, a fantastic strike from him, and I'm delighted to see him continuing to do so well. And another player I want to give a shout out to, maybe not one of the young guns, but certainly a player who we noticed against Raith Rovers on his return, and that was Miles Storey. Now, Storey, very direct, very quick, and I mean, he took his goal really well, and he looked dangerous again in this one, and I think that's fantastic news for Inverness, because James Keatons hasn't really been performing to level we thought, and Shane Sutherland hasn't really been up to much either, but the fact they've got Storey back and he looks to kind of be making a bit of an impact, I think that's great news for John Robertson.
Well, the thing for me is that a few weeks ago we were saying Nikolai Todorov was kind of integral to this Inverness side, but since that, kind of James Keatings, Miles Storey and Shane Sutherland, they've all come in and kind of kept Todorov out of the team pretty much, and they've looked fine together. They've put a good run of results together. And I think, as you say, Storey was really tricky in this one. He should have had another before he got his goal when he took it around Layfield and Obelai, but it was a tight angle. But yeah, I thought it was a great finish for his goals as well, pretty emphatic.
Then what about Queens then? What did you make of them? Because for me, I was starting to think that they'd kind of turned the corner. We've obviously said we weren't too sure on Queen of the South. They were maybe the team who had the most question marks about change. Nearly the whole squad didn't really start very well, but recorded wins against Queen's Park in the Cup and then Aloha. But they just kind of appeared back to their usual selves again. They didn't manage a single shot on target. It's the third time in six league games this season that they've conceded three or more. And yeah, they just look brutal.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I actually thought they did create a few chances. You're saying that they didn't get any on target, and yeah, you want to be testing the goalkeeper, but like Dan Pybus should be breaking the net with that chance that he has, but the Inverness defence does really well to block it. I thought Connor Shields looked okay at times. I think Ewan East had a header in the second half that just goes off target. I thought when he's on the ball, Joe McKee again was okay in this match, but may not when he's off the ball, when he's trying to win the ball back. And Stephen Dobie's movement to get into space and his hold-up play was really good for large spells of this match too. It's similar to Alba so far this season. It's maybe not falling for Queens so far this season. I guess Alba's overall style of play is a bit better on the eye, I would say, but Queens is maybe more about the lack of individual quality that they maybe have. But I think they did create some chances in this one. This was one of their better defeats, if that makes sense. It feels a bit harsh to say after they've been kind of beaten 3-0 and not played particularly well, but I think it was one of their better defeats of the season so far.
Right, well, yeah, I guess you could maybe agree with kind of that viewpoint. And you rightly say they did create chances, but in games, you've got to get these on target for me.
Yeah.
You can create all the chances in the world, but if you're not doing anything with them, who cares how many chances you've created? But again, Stephen Dobie, I think his movement was really good in this one. Obviously didn't score, but good to kind of see a different side to his game. Obviously, we've kind of known him as a pure goal scorer over the past few seasons, and maybe not paid as much attention to the movement that he makes. But if he can kind of make those movements and Queens can change those chances into shots on target, then things could go really well, because I think most teams will try and kind of nullify Dobie. He's the obvious target in that Queen of the South team. They're going to play for him when they can. They're going to rely on him to deliver. And if they can stop him most of the time, I mean, Queens are really struggling then. But if he's able to pull folk out of positions and let likes of Shields or whatever get in, I mean, that could make a huge difference in a season that, as we've already said, is quite a hard one to decipher for the Dunhamers.
Yeah, I think especially as well, if you think about a few seasons back now, when we do think about when Dobie scored the most goals that he did, he had obviously Lyndon Dykes doing that dirty work. And maybe now it's Dobie that's trying to do that dirty work, but in supporting him, he's got Connor Shields and Aidan Fitzpatrick, obviously both tricky players, but maybe not out-and-out goal scorers that Queen of the South need. I think it'd be interesting to see maybe how they approach January, because as you said, Cammy, when we first started chatting about this match, and as we've said for a lot of times this season, we're a bit unsure of their recruitment so far. They obviously recruited a full team, a full squad pretty much, and it's not been the best. I'd be interested to see if they do anything in January, obviously, because we're led to believe that they do have a bit of Lyndon Dykes money sitting there from that sell-on that they had from his move to Livy. So, I'd be interested to see if they do kind of throw a bit of that money at it in January and really try and upgrade a few areas of this squad.
I mean, going by that money that they kind of, was it 250 grand or somewhere kind of in that region, I think I read?
I think definitely six figures. I'm not sure if it's that much, but...
But like even still, six figures in the championships, a lot of money that you can play around with. And I'd like to hope that they didn't just kind of build that squad banking on Dykes maybe leaving, because you've really not spent your money well if that is the case. But if they do have a little bit of money, there's certainly options that they could acquire. Obviously, come January, a lot of players will get released because they've not played too much. And they could obviously come in and be a real kind of do a good turn for Queen of the South. And then obviously there's loans that they could maybe pay for. And I mean, there's not often transfer fees paid in this league, but I mean, if the option's there and they've got the money, I can imagine they probably would take it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just to finish up on this match, I was a big fan of John Robertson's tartan scarf. I'm wondering whether it was the Inverness Caledonian Thistle tartan. But if it wasn't, then I'm wondering where he got it, because I really like the look of it.
I mean, yeah, a fantastic scarf and a well-dressed manager.
Shall we move on to Raith Rovers 2, Dunfermline Athletic 2?
Let's go for it.
Let's firstly touch on the fact that Manny Duku scored versus Dunfermline. Cammy, here's what you said to Manny Duku when we spoke to him a couple of weeks back now.
If you score against Dunfermline as well, that's it. We'll not speak again. So just.
So how delighted were you when he popped up to put Rovers in front here?
I mean, I was far from delighted. I think that'd be the nicest way to put it. I think I can only say that I probably jinxed myself, and me saying that meant he was destined to score. But obviously, Manny, pure championship favourite, good pal of the podcast. And yeah, if it wasn't against the Pars, I'd been happy. And I still kind of am happy that he did score, because he's a player that we've thoroughly enjoyed. And a player who I think performed well. He did get the man of the match in this one. It was a typical Duku performance. Lots of headers won, and just, yeah, really good general play from our man Manny.
Who was marking him for that free kick? Like, shocking marking for the goal.
Well, I think we just kind of gave up marking at set pieces. Obviously, we're the set piece kings of the championship, but I think we just decided to pass that title over to our Fife rivals at the weekend, because it was embarrassing. I think it was meant to be Ciaran McInroy on Duku for the first. Nowhere near him. Obviously, Manny gets a good header off, and Fawn Williams, for me, he's got to do better. He's got to hold it, or at least punch it somewhere else, because he's just put it right into Duku's path, and it was an easy goal for him. And I mean, to be fair, it was what Rafe deserved. The Pars had a really disappointing first half, sure, and really up until we scored the kind of first goal to make it 2-1 at the end, we were really poor. And I'd go so far as to say this was probably the worst Pars performance I've seen this season. And Rafe maybe weren't as great as we've seen in other games, but they were certainly the better of the two sides. There were some chances in the game. I think it was Dylan Tate early on hit the post, and yeah, they just looked kind of generally better. Ryan Dow had a chance he really should have finished. Dick McManus put one wide, and yeah, it was a very frustrating day for the Pars. And then when we conceded the second, I mean, I did not think for a second a few minutes later we would be at 2-2, because we just seemed to be lacking. I felt Declan McManus was really struggling in this one. Of course, he'd go on to score that second goal, and what a goal that was, a really nice volley. He was really quiet. Rafe done well to keep him like quiet. I didn't think Dom Thomas had his best game in a Pars shirt, and yeah, it was just a really frustrating game from a Pars perspective. We've also mentioned Fawn Williams at the first goal. The second goal, I mean, he was just as much at fault, if not entirely at fault, because the ball comes in, he kind of runs out, makes a real mess of it, nowhere near it, kind of comes back, and he just kind of fumbles it into his net. And yeah, it was disappointing, because I think when Fawn Williams came in, I did have questions. Obviously, a lot of fans at his previous clubs maybe weren't too keen on him, but to give him credit, his performances this season earned him a recall to the Wales squad. And it was perhaps just one of those days where he did kind of have a poor day, but yeah, it was in the end, I'm glad that we managed to get that draw.
Yeah, I think you touched on Fawn. I was going to ask you about him, but you've basically answered my question already. He's been absolutely fine for the Pars up until now. That second Race Rovers goal, Frankie Mazonda's third goal of the season, and he goes joint top scorer with about 40 other players. I think if I'm getting that correct, you've got Charlie Adams scored three, Daniel Armstrong scored three, Derek Manis has scored three now as well. Ewan Murray's got three, obviously didn't score in this one. I don't know what was happening there, but maybe get an inquest as to why he didn't score from a set piece in this one. Cammy, Kevin O'Hara's got three as well. This was Manny Duku's third goal. Nikolai Todorov's got three, Ross Matthews has got three, Dobie's got three, Stephen Kingsley's got three, and it probably does go on, but that is all that this stats in front of me is showing there. So nobody wants to be top scorer in the championship this season, so it's all up for grabs, and at the moment Frankie Mazonda is my tip for it, if he can keep scoring at the moment at the same rate. But before we touch on something else for Dunfermline, I wanted to quickly touch on Raith Rovers' short corners. I think people kind of hate short corners sometimes, but it's actually poor short corners that they hate, and Raith had a couple of good ones in this one. When they come off, they can potentially almost be spectacular. I think it was Frank Ross had a curling effort that cracked the post, and then another bit of woodwork was hit in the second half too with another short corner. So again, sorry to burst any Raith Rovers bubbles there, but if you're playing against them in future, then watch out for those short corners.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was something that I certainly noticed, and we've spoken a lot about the Pars and their kind of set piece ability, but Raith's has maybe went a bit more under the radar, not really something we've touched upon, but in this one, it was certainly something that was working for them, as you say. They managed to almost grab a few more through these shot corner routines, and just like teams struggle to deal with Ewan Murray at corners, not that Rafe didn't, but, or sorry, not that Rafe did, but the Pars certainly struggled with the short corners, and I think it's something that if you do well, it most often comes off or presents you with a really good chance, because teams, I don't think teams maybe rate the kind of goal scoring chances of a short corner. I think they prefer just a direct ball in, header from a big centre half, and then kind of go with that. But yeah, it was something that was quite apparent on Saturday, and something that gave Rafe a real boost, I'd imagine, coming into that match was Dylan Tate signing a new deal until 2024. What about that?
Yeah, huge news for Rafe Rovers, and big news for kind of Championship and lower league fans everywhere, because it's great to see a club be kind of so on the ball with things like that. It's so good to see them not lose talent on the cheap, as we've seen so often in the past. So yeah, that's a huge boost for them going into the rest of the season, and because he's had a superb start to life in the Championship. Obviously had a great season at League One last season too. So yeah, very talented player, and it'll be really interesting to see how he continues his development and then see what he can potentially make for Raith Rovers at some point, and then see what he can do in the future too.
Absolutely, and I think the kind of length of the deal says a lot about what Rafe say about him, what Rafe feel about him, and I think perhaps this decision could have been inspired by Kevin Nisbet. Obviously, the Pars took Kevin Nisbet off their hands for kind of very little. I think there was a clause in the contract, and yeah, I think Rafe kind of learned we've got to be doing contracts long term, have the contract structured better, and then obviously Nisbet performed at the Pars, and then the Pars a nice chunk of money, and I think Rafe now in the Championship have realised that we gave Kevin Nisbet that kind of initial stepping stone. Let's kind of make ourselves that team in the Championship. Let's get these players in and kind of let them come up. I mean, I know Tate came through the ranks at Partick Thistle, and I believe he was at Fife Elite before Rafe picked him up. So I guess you could, in a roundabout way, say he is one of their own. But yeah, fantastic news for Rafe. And that wasn't the only fantastic news that has concerned either of these clubs in the past few days. I think you've got something to announce as well.
Yeah, Stevie Crawford got his second Manager of the Month award, and Kyle Turner is Player of the Month last month. So I guess Dunfermline fans and the club will be absolutely delighted with that. We'll touch on that in a second, but obviously this result did mean that you were knocked off the top spot, Cammy, as well. I just need to get that in there too. But yeah, still unbeaten in the league, obviously, which is a great achievement. Obviously still very early days, six games in, but yeah, obviously great to be challenging up there.
Yeah, it's a fantastic start, obviously, to only be a point behind Hearts at this stage. I mean, we are still early doors, but I think most Pars fans would have signed up to be just a point behind Hearts and kind of right on their tails, unbeaten. And yeah, to see the manager recognised 2 months on the trot, I mean, I think that's fantastic. Obviously, last year I was quite critical of Crawford, but the kind of change in his management style and just the team in general, now that he's had that little bit extra, is superb. And I mean, I think there were times where I probably did call for his head last year when things did get bad, but I think this is just kind of goes to show the importance of giving managers kind of time. I mean, as I've just said, I was guilty for calling for his head and wanting managerial changes, and it was similar with Alan Johnston as well when things got bad. But yeah, fantastic for Stevie, and then equally as fantastic for Kyle Turner. Obviously, I think his performance in that Friday night fixture against Hearts will certainly have massively helped him with the Player of the Month kind of award, because he was top class in the past month.
Yeah, he obviously had a great game against Hearts, and we don't know who decides these Player of the Month awards, but it probably, as you say, that performance and that result against Hearts played a big part in him being awarded that for the month of November. Let's move on, and unfortunately it is time to talk about Greenock Morton. It was Morton 0, Hearts 2 at the weekend. Hearts kind of eased themselves back into league action. I think if there was a team that they would have wanted to play after their surprise Betfred Cup defeat against Alloa, then it was probably Morton. obviously I wasn't able to watch this one as I was at Aloha Air on Saturday, but I think before the match this one had Easy Hearts win all over it for me, and I wasn't even remotely convinced that we would trouble them, and that is despite obviously Aloha being able to trouble them on the previous Saturday. What did you make of this one, Cammy, when you watched it back?
I mean, as you say, the kind of prediction heading into this match was an Easy Hearts win, and that's exactly how the game went. I mean, from watching the highlights, I can't even recall Morton touching the ball. Whether that was just down to the highlights package being a bit more biased than usual, or because Morton were genuinely that bad, I'm not too sure. I wasn't at the game, so couldn't say that definitively. But the fact that I think there was only one moment in the highlights where Morton done anything says quite a lot about the performance of Morton, and certainly says a lot about the way Hearts played. Hearts were certainly a dominant team in this one, and yeah, I think it was important for them to get that kind of instant bounce back after their defeat to the Pars, and then Aloha. As you said earlier on when we were discussing Pars Wraith, Pars have been knocked off top spot by Hearts. Hearts are now the point clear, and yeah, I mean, I think they took a deserved lead in the 36th minute. Absolutely sensational bit of skill from Ollie Lee to tee up Jamie Walker, who, I mean, we said Roddy McGregor's finish was hard, and I mean, I'm going to give Walker the benefit of the doubt here and say that he actually hit it and he didn't shin it, but yeah, he could have quite easily made a right mess of that, but just the way he managed to hit it, bounce it and into the corner was a really nice goal.
I was wondering if Ollie Lee meant to do what he actually did to set it up for Jamie Walker. I think Hearts' Twitter account and Hearts' fans were bemoaning about the state of the Capello pitch, which was, I mean, it is kind of a valid point. These days it's not looking as good as it has been in previous seasons, but I was wondering if it played a part in this goal by letting that ball bounce up a bit for Ollie Lee to then bounce it again and then play it over to Jamie Walker. I really wasn't sure if he meant it, but obviously it looked great when it came off.
Yeah, it did, and I think the pitch could perhaps have played if it's got that little bit of bounce in it. Well, yeah, it could have made the difference. It did. The first few times I watched it, I did think it had maybe come off a Morton defender, but no, it was Ollie Lee with just a nice wee flick up. And then, I mean, I think you can't really see Hearts done anything wrong in this match. They had a few more chances. They could have scored a few more, but shout out to Morton keeper Aidan McAdams. He provided a really, really good save. Maybe one of the saves of the season, actually. I believe it was Jamie Walker took a shot, and there's a kind of clip going round on, I think it was a Hearts social platforms, of McAdams' save as part of one of the like kind of alternative highlight packages, which to be fair to Hearts was fantastic and really nice to kind of see that rather than just your bog standard, well, in addition to your like bog standard highlights, but just the kind of cinematics of it all were really nice. So shout out to Hearts and the guy who's doing them, and I think that was an absolutely fantastic save. And I mean, I've got to give a shout out to the Porty Pirlo, obviously pure championship pal Adam Kennedy of the Perth to Paisley podcast coined that term, and Hearts are now using it quite regularly. And I mean, Andy Irving certainly lived up to the Pirlo nickname with an absolutely top pass across the pitch for Jamie Walker's second. And I think there was a lot on social media kind of following the game. Irving's contract's up at the end of the season, and I think a lot of Hearts fans are demanding a new contract signed now. And I think that makes complete sense. Irving is a player who has really impressed me anyway, and it's probably impressed me more so than the likes of your Andy Hallidays and kind of the other big names in that team. Irving's maybe not a player you'd expect to see having such a big impact, but he's a player who is doing really well for Hearts at the moment.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last podcast, Cammy. Like, Andy Irving should be one of the first names on the team sheet for me in this Hearts side at the moment. Obviously, Ollie Lee's come in and played well in this match. I think it was him that had that chance that Aidan McAdams saved. But yeah, I think Andy Irving just showed that he really should be playing week in, week out in this Hearts team. Great pass out to the left-hand side for Jamie Walker's second goal. And yeah, if they can get him on a new contract, it could be a similar situation to Dylan Tate, to be honest. Obviously, Hearts fans probably want to keep their best players around, but I think Andy Irving has a really high ceiling, and he's showed it a little bit last season. Obviously, they did struggle, but I do remember him getting called out as being a kind of the stats that were underlying his performances were really promising, and he is showing that obviously with a bit more time in the championship as well on the pitch. So I think, yeah, he can go on to from strength to strength, to be honest. I did just want to, like, Morton, I think you watched the Hearts highlights. I watched the Morton ones. They had one big chance early on from Sean McGinty that I think just went wide. But I was looking at some other stats, and our average possession so far this season is apparently below 40%. And that does not surprise me whatsoever. It just looks like we do not want the ball. We're just trying to be set ourselves up to be hard to beat. And obviously we are getting beat more often than not since the first couple of weeks of the season. So, yeah, potentially we'll see something similar to last season, where it looked like at some point things just flicked a little bit and we started to be a bit more entertaining going forward. I'm still waiting for that to happen this season, but we don't really have a Nicky Cadden to do that what he did last season, especially when you've maybe got Aidan Nesbitt on the bench. I think he needs to start for me. Yeah, we were much better as a team when he came on against Dundee in that defeat. We looked a bit better when he came on in this one too. He was much more livelier than who'd been on before him. And for me, he needs to start because I think he's got all the talent in the world and he could make a difference if he's regularly on that pitch.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, I think Dick Campbell had obviously criticised David Hopkin for the way that he set up the team against his Arbroath a few weeks back, and I don't think you could really complain about the way Hopkins set up the team. Obviously, it's Hearts are more likely to cause you damage than Arbroath, with all due respect to Arbroath, and you could kind of understand the letting them have the ball, but at the same time, and I mean, they've not got much possession, as you say, and I mean, that's far from ideal. Of course, you don't need possession to win matches. It's ultimately how many goals you score at the end of the game. If you've got 10% possession and 4 goals, who cares how much time you've had the ball, but yeah, you'd like to see Morton kind of getting more on the ball, and especially with players like Nesbitt who can be that tricky player, who can provide a bit of a spark, and one of few players maybe in that Morton team who I think you wouldn't be too angry at me saying maybe aren't the flashiest or most kind of nice looking sides to watch, but that a kind of player like Nesbitt could make all the difference in such a side.
Yeah, you've got Nesbitt on. You can have Nesbitt on one side, you can have Josh McPake on the other, and supporting a striker. And I think we spoke about Reece Lyon a little bit before. I really like the look of Luca Colville last season quite a lot. They've not had much of a look in so far this season, and I'd really like to see them come in and make a difference in these league matches, because we've got some of the players that can play a different style of play, but yeah, we're just not seeing it so much. And I think, as you said, you maybe look at this fixture beforehand and you don't really expect to get anything out of it, but then you look at what Alloa were able to do against Hearts in the Betfred Cup, and you look back and you think, well, we didn't even lay a glove on them there. There's so many times that watching it live and on the highlights, obviously this week, that opposition players have so much time and space to bring the ball down and then look up and play some easy passes, and you just think, who's pressing them? Why are they not getting chased down? And why is there no like massive desire to win that ball back and try and do something with it? It's a struggle at the moment. I will obviously continue to buy the streams because I am enjoying them despite us kind of losing out more often than not over the last few weeks. But yeah, I just think it's a bit of a difficult watch at the moment, but we're all obsessed football fans, so obviously we're going to keep watching it.
Now, we'd obviously praised him a bit earlier on with the save he made, Aidan McAdams. Now, something that still surprises me about this Morton side is they've only got one goalkeeper. Now, we're coming up to the January transfer window, and you'd think you've got to get that other goalie in, because with all respect to McAdams, he's had a few okay performances, but if he goes down injured, who are you looking to?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think it's obviously taken playing Hearts and obviously that bit of extra media attention for people to realise that Morton still only have one goalie this season. So I'm hopefully positive that another goalkeeper is high up on the January list. Because, yeah, as you say, I think there was a match earlier on in the season when he went down kind of holding his head a little bit after a clash, and Morton fans collectively gasped because we have no idea who's going to go in if he does go off injured during a match. So I'm touching the table that I am recording this on in the hope that we're getting a goalie in January. Let's move on to our final match of the weekend, and that was Dundee 1, Arbroath 0. And this was Dundee's first win since match day 2. What did you make of this one, Cammy?
I mean, this was a huge win for Dundee, and I think that's even an understatement. As you say, they've not won for a few weeks, and the kind of pressure has been building on James McPake. There's been a lot of kind of comments in the media from Paul McGowan, Charlie Adam, and fans are understandably frustrated with what they've seen, but this win allows them to kind of just about stay in touch with the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't a fantastic performance by any means. They were very, very wasteful, I felt, watching the highlights. And yeah, they're still really kind of struggling and not hitting the heights that I think you or I expected them to be hitting with the squad they've got.
No, they're not hitting the heights, but I think this did come across to me as one of their better performances of the season so far. It probably should have been much more comfortable than the 1-0 scoreline suggests. I think Christy Elliott should have burst the net with a chance early on. Paul McGowan's had a lofted through ball. Tim Derek Gassley made a good save, which we'll come on to later on. Max Anderson had a chance too. I think you were going to touch on how good it was to see him starting. Paul McGowan's goal was obviously lovely, but I think they should have had a penalty too. Paul McGowan's side-footed effort clearly hits Tam O'Brien's arm on the way to goal for me. So I think 1-0, obviously they've got the win and they'll be delighted with the 3 points, but it should have been a bit more comfortable for me.
Yeah, it should have been. And I think, much like we kind of said with Neil Parry in the Alloa Air match, he made things much better than the potential could have been for Alloa. And I think the same could be said for Gaston. You mentioned that Elliott chance, and there were a few fantastic saves in this one. And Dundee keeper Jack Hamilton didn't really have much to do, but right at the very end, he made a really good kind of save on a point-blank header. And I mean, that would have been a draw had he not kept that in. Had he not kept it out, and a huge save. And I think you just wonder, is this a win that could perhaps spur Dundee on? They obviously won earlier on in the season and kind of didn't do anything with that. But you'd also mentioned Max Anderson. Obviously, we are big fans of Finlay Robertson, but Max Anderson's another youngster coming through at Dundee at the moment. That's his third straight start across all competitions. And yeah, he's managing to do pretty well, and a potential another pure championship favourite in the making, because I think it was in the season preview pod, Gary, the Dundee supporter, had said that Max Anderson's actually higher rated than Finlay Robertson, or words to that effect. So to see him playing more's great, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing him more and kind of getting more of a picture of what kind of player he is.
Yeah, get him on the favourites list, definitely, or the favourites shortlist. I thought in this one as well, just to finally touch on Dundee, I think Liam Fontaine looked a bit more of a calming presence in that Dundee back line. I think if he can get a few more matches and a few more minutes under his belt, then that could be a big addition to their back line, which has often been so we've ripped into it a fair few times, let's just say that. So yeah, Liam Fontaine is obviously going to be a good addition for them. And yeah, like I said, I just think this was one of their better performances of the season so far, and a team that is still hunting for a good performance so far this season is Arbroath. I think they continue to struggle. They've struggled for most of the season so far, and other than maybe a Michael Ruth chance where I think he should have again burst the net after a nice run into the box, and Hamilton saves that one well. I don't remember them troubling Dundee much in this one. What did you make of their performance?
No, they really didn't. I think there was another chance as well where Bobby Lynn played a cross goal, and it just needed a kind of wee touch that could have completely changed the game at the time it would have been scored at. And yeah, it was another kind of disappointing performance from Arbroath. I think, as you say, they've struggled to perform well this season, and I think if we're to be really kind to them, we'll probably say that their performance in the 1-0 loss to Hearts was the kind of performance that we expect from Arbroath. Of course, they lost that one, but it was much more the Arbroath that we came to know and love last season. Very hard to break down, and I think on that occasion they were very unlucky, but on this game, they really weren't. They really didn't help themselves. I think going back to Dundee, Paul McGowan's goal was a potential goal of the season candidate. This was something that could have been quite easily stopped by Arbroath. I felt they were very slow just to kind of get to him, and well, they didn't get to him, but just in general, the Dundee just seemed to get a lot more time on the ball than they really should have. And yeah, a fantastic goal from McGowan, but one that I think was certainly preventable from Arbroath.
Oh, definitely preventable. And if you don't want to slag him off, Cammy, I will. It was Mikko Virtanen, who should have caught up or at least chased Paul McGowan. And I think Dick Campbell wasn't best pleased with Mikko's performance in this one. He took him off after about 36 minutes, I think it was, or 39 minutes. So, yeah, I think he played in a Aberdeen reserve match during the week that Dick Campbell wasn't too pleased about. But, yeah, I think one performance for the team and one performance for Mikko to quickly move on from at the weekend.
Dick Campbell did say post-match something along the lines of he could have killed Mikko and that Mikko was carrying an injury. Obviously, as a pure championship favourite, we hope that it is nothing serious and hope that both Mikko and Arbroath can kind of perform how we're expecting them to perform this season.
Definitely. That's us covered all the action from match day six. Match day seven looks pretty interesting because we have the first pure championship derby. We are looking to do something for it. We're not quite sure yet. I just wanted to say that on the podcast as well, just to make sure that we actually do something for it. But we will keep you all updated on the Pure Football Twitter account when we've decided what we are going to do from it. But Cammy, I'm guessing you're looking forward to it from your side because you are expecting a win.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not going to say too much because the last time I said something shouldn't happen, well, Manny Duku scored. So yeah, I'll not say too much on that, but a fantastic game, as always, between our two sides. Always a tight one, and a game, of course, with me being a Pars fan, you being a Morton fan, that we always look forward to in the kind of Pure Championship pod calendar. So that's one of two what I think are really good games at the weekend. Perhaps the biggest of the weekend, we'll see Arbroath take on Alloa. Ninth place Arbroath against 10th place Alloa. Neither side have won. Both sides have performed very poorly so far this season. Can one of these sides get a win? I mean, I think that's certainly going to be a match that I'll be keeping a really close eye on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously from a Morton perspective, I'm hoping it is a drab draw and neither of them pick up a win. So yeah, that we'll be looking out for them. And hopefully next week you join us because we'll be discussing all the best of Match Day 7 next week. But Cammy, thank you very much for joining us as per. And we'll see you next time.